is trying to give you.
Your attention is being requested. And so that also, that middle podium also has the clock, so you can be aware of the time that you have remaining when you speak. We do ask that when you approach the podium, that you identify yourself for our record. And counsel for appellant, when you're ready, you may approach and begin.
And my legal assistant just gave me my argument. It might not
Then your attention was well warranted, correct?
Yeah.
Well, if only she could just give us the opinion, too, then we'd be all done.
Well, good morning, Your Honors. And it's a privilege to appear before you this morning. I'd like to start, if I may, by introducing my clients, DJ and Zinesh Bedasso, if you could stand up, please, who are the owners of Ras Ethiopian Restaurant and held the liquor license at issue in this case. The city of St. Paul set a date certain to request a merits hearing. The city denied my clients a merits hearing when they failed to request the hearing by a specified date. In short, the city viewed this matter as jurisdictional. We know this to be the case based on the transcript of the June 15 council hearing. The transcript is very short, I guess, as your clerks and you all have read it. But I'd like to, if I may, read some of the particulars of the transcript, because I think it's the beginning and the end of this case.
Counsel, can I inquire, though, how do we get around, though, the fact that, while you argue that the time allowed wasn't enough, the fact is that under the three options, as explained in the notice, that we will presume if no action's taken that you do not disagree with the city's action. Because that, in the end, explains why there was a perfunctory, I think, consent decree. It was on the consent decree agenda to accept the recommendation. So isn't that the process that's due if your client's given notice and that's undisputed?
No, Your Honor. That's exactly the point that I try to outline in my briefs and will present this morning. The city's view that the date set forth in Teresa Scarda's letter of May 6th they view it as a jurisdictional limitation on the rights of my client. And there is no basis in the city ordinances or in their rules that would support such a determination, one. And two, the application of that rule to the facts of this case denies my client's due process.
Well, then fair enough. What should the letter have said? Like,
it's not the letter. Excuse me for interrupting.
Or excuse me, the notice. Like, what should they have just scheduled a hearing, and say we're ready. Hope you show up. That's one way to do it to get around the well. If you don't say anything, we assume you don't want one. But I mean, that seems to be an inordinate waste of scheduling hearings that may or may not ever take place does not seem to be the most efficient use of, limited resources, either for all the people who do want a hearing and wrote the letter in time, and all the people who, and then the hearing officers and everybody else and the lawyers and blah, blah, blah. I mean, what is so wrong with the way they've set it up, which is you can have a hearing, you just got to tell me by X date? Is it that the date was too soon, or... I get he didn't have a hearing, and everybody should get a hearing if you're going to lose your licenses, whether it's anything. But what's wrong with the way they set this up?
Well, the facts are what make it wrong. Okay. Keep in mind that their lawyer, my partner, corresponded with the city, advising the city that they denied the allegations in writing, okay? And the second thing he did was to advise them that he had COVID and couldn't appear at the hearing. And the third thing he did was to ask that it be taken off the consent agenda and a hearing be scheduled, okay? So all we're doing with respect to the letter that...
I assume that was after the May 20th, 22 date.
No. It was before the June 15 hearing. My client sat in the council hearing.
I get that. But that, okay. I get that that was pre-council hearing. But what I'm saying is all of this stuff happened after the May 2022 date, which, you know, sort of says if you're not contacting me, I assume you don't want a hearing. Would that be a fair statement, Mr. McClay?
Yes, it would be.
I get it.
Excuse me for...
No. I got really scared that I thought I missed something, but
no.
Go ahead.
But it's just the fact that they applied that May 20 date as jurisdictional, which denies my client's due process, and also is not grounded in any of the ordinance or rules of the city. It was a date that was picked out by Teresa Scarda. And frankly, I don't fault Teresa Scarda for this. I fault the city attorney for advising the council that their procedural rights were gone because they hadn't complied by this May 20 date. They're sitting in the council chambers, and it's like a Kafka-esque performance where nobody's there, and because this magical date has come and gone, they're not entitled to a hearing. Now, that makes no sense, and that is a fundamental denial of due process of these people. This matter should have been taken off the consent agenda.
What if they said, what if the letter said you've got 6 months to, you know, ask for a hearing? Would that, and then they didn't. The 6 months expired and, you know, blah, 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 nothing happens. Would that also be a violation of due process?
One, it didn't. I'm not trying to be contentious.
It
didn't say that. Okay. She picked a date. That 15 days is nowhere in their rules or ordinances, okay? She picked a date because that's what she should do, okay? But on the facts of this case, when these people are there, where their lawyer has said, I got COVID and I can't represent them, where they deny the allegations, and when they ask for it to be taken off the consent agenda and have a hearing, what is the enormous harm of simply providing due process to these people to let them contest the allegations which they've denied? And that's the issue before you today, not whether it was 6 months or whether there could be some time that would be past due process muster. There's a footnote in our brief in which I concede that. There could have been different notices that might have complied, but this one as applied to the facts of this case does not.
How much time, I have your brief in front of me, but how much time did, between the time they got the letter and May 20th, what do they have, 2 weeks? They have 15 days?
15 days, right.
Okay, all right.
The date of the letter.
Right.
Okay.
15 days. And there's no dispute, I take it, that they didn't get the letter.
Well, there is
strike that. You're right. There's no dispute that the letter wasn't returned.
There's no dispute that the letter wasn't
returned. The question is whether, you know, where did it go?
Right.
I get it.
But again, I'm not sure that's dispositive because of the particular facts where they've got counsel, their counsel provides all the information I've repeated twice, and they're sitting in the council chambers.
So, counsel, just to clarify that, your point is very fact-specific. It's those facts that render the city's decision unreasonable because it had an opportunity, at least by the letter, I think the day before the hearing, to reschedule it to a contested hearing.
Yes, exactly. That's a very fair summary, Judge Slider. It's the particular facts of this case which cry for a violation of due process. You know, I don't want to weigh on the heartstrings here. My clients are immigrants from Ethiopia, okay? We're talking about May 6th to June 15. You know, this is, you know, not some, you know, extended period of time. There was plenty of opportunity for everybody to do the right thing here and get to a contested hearing. And the city, based on the advice of the city attorney at that time who was advising them, you know, you all read it. It takes 10 pages. You know, he says...
But, you know, I mean, the council for the city will tell me whatever they want. But, I mean, one response to that argument is, look, and I'm not suggesting these facts are here, but, you know, if we've got, you know, if there are allegations that there are serious problems with the way this establishment is run, either, you know, and I'm not saying this is what happened, I'm just saying, you know, serving minors alcohol, you know, lots of police coming back and forth, I mean, presumably there is an interest in let's move this along, because otherwise, you know, you're going to have this establishment that's causing all these problems. I mean, so there is for the city's perspective, you know, there's some desire, well, we got to get going, and if you want your hearing, you'll give you a hearing, but by God, you better tell me in 2 weeks so that we can deal with this, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now, what's your response to that statement that, you know, there is some desire for immediacy depending on how serious these things are?
That your question is spot on, and it's the public safety argument that I'm sure my learned colleague is going to talk to you about. They elected a remedy here, the city. What the city should have done was, now what we're going to do is we're going to schedule this for a hearing, and we're going to suspend the license until that hearing recommendation comes back. That they could have done. And that was the reason I filed that request for reconsideration that was completely blown off by the city. They could have done that, and they didn't. What they chose to do was to violate due process, revoke this license, and put these people out of business. That's the answer to your question. Any other questions from any of Justice Larkin? Okay.
No.
Doesn't appear there are. If you have any final comments, you may make it. Otherwise, you will have 5 minutes.
I will. Everybody. Thank you.
Very well. Okay. Counsel for respondent, you may approach, identify yourself, and then you may begin.
May it please the court. Peter Michael, appearing on behalf of the City of St. Paul, my privilege to represent the city, as I have for many years now. The revocation of the license should be affirmed because the licensee was given a reasonable opportunity to be heard, to dispute the allegations in the notice of violation. I have a little bit of a challenge.
Enough?
It is more than enough, Your Honor.
What case says that?
Westside Palm. Pawn, cited in the case. And as I noted in a footnote in my brief, Westside Pawn is a procedural due process case. That's a constitutional interest in that license. There is no constitutional interest in this license, so if it's good enough for a constitutional interest, it's more than good enough for this one. The standard of review is arbitrary and capricious here. Municipalities have broad authority, broad discretion to determine the manner in which licenses are issued, regulated, and revoked. The question before this court isn't whether the city made the best choice in deciding its 14 days, or in rejecting an 11th-hour plea for a different course of action. The question is only whether they made a lawful choice. The relator's argument boils down to, by following the procedure that the city had established, by refusing to deviate from its own procedure, it was arbitrary and capricious. The city has the option to deviate from its procedure, obviously, but not doing so is not arbitrary and capricious.
Mr. Michael, I assume, and you could tell by the tenor of the passion the counsel for appellant was using, but it does kind of strike you as a non-listening, non-caring rigidity of a city against an individual owner of a business. And by that I mean the concession is 20 days is normally fine. And you kind of alluded to that now that, okay, here's our presumption. But when you look at the letter that was received the day before, what's the downside, and why would that not be considered unreasonable given all those allegations, facts that less than a month after the deadline and one day before the hearing and with the option to suspend, so you got the public safety, you know, pending a resolution to simply hear their points. It just does seem a bit, given all those facts, and the attorney had COVID, couldn't be there. It just seems reasonable. You could have scratched that off the agenda and within the 2 weeks had a hearing and put it back on the agenda less than 60 days later.
Your Honor, the fact that there are more than one reasonable pathway to a deal with the matter does not make the choice that the city...
But what I want to get at is the argument they're making, it on its face makes some good sense. In these facts, there was only one reasonable thing to do, and that's to reschedule it.
Your Honor, I respectfully disagree that there was only one good choice on these facts. The first of all, just factually, the council had COVID, et cetera, is about the consent agenda hearing on in June. There's nothing in the record to establish why the licensee ignored the notice that very clearly laid out communicating with the licensee, here's what we're going to
because
do.
Because you respond to every letter you get, right?
When I get a letter that's in bold from my city telling me that we're going to take action to revoke your license, I'm going to respond to that letter, yes, Your Honor.
But didn't the attorney say that one of the points is the letter was sent to a previous address, so they didn't actually have it?
First of all, under Westside Palm, actual receipt is not the burden of the city to prove. That does not affect, if this was a constitutional interest, that would not be of any consequence.
But the point is, we're kind of shifting here, as I understood the argument today. I didn't read it in the brief quite so much, that there's a concession that normally the 20 days and otherwise would be reasonable, but we have specific facts here that gives some reasonable, and perhaps they're arguing the only reasonable basis to just simply reset it. We didn't get actual notice, so that answers your question why they didn't actually respond. Well, we know because they didn't get it, and then these other factors.
Your Honor, respectfully, we don't know that they didn't get it. But and so if we're going to make a decision based on the story as framed by counsel, there is a competing story that is in the record rather than the one that's framed outside of the record.
And for me, reacquaint us again, it didn't go to the bar, it went to the home.
Your Honor, it went to both places. It went to the licensee's address on their license, and it went to the place of business. The only excuse offered in the record for not answering is a partial excuse that the home address was not current, which is the licensee's responsibility, not the city's responsibility. Nothing offered about whether it was received at the business or reviewed there, and it's only an email from counsel. There's no statement. There's nothing placed in the record from the owner to say, in Westside Palm, Pawn, I keep wanting to call it Palm. I wish I was in Florida, perhaps. the licensee was actually out of town on vacation, didn't open his mail, literally did not read the thing until after the hearing. The court found that's okay. We gave you reasonable notice. All we have to do is mail it to you. Here on the facts, a city dealing with license issues is always dealing with excuses, delays, requests for something else. When we're talking about liquor, we're talking about something special. As Justice Connolly, Judge Connolly.
They're on the third floor.
They're on the third floor.
We're just Sorry. Troops.
As he noted, there is a public safety attendant to license issues. The facts in the record in this case demonstrate that the non-responsiveness from the relator is consistent with the way the relator has engaged with the city and its police department when the police department is trying to act in exigent circumstances. And so while the city could have decided we'll give you some more time, the city had no legal obligation to do that.
You get this letter, but there's no suspension or revocation of the license until there's a hearing where the ALJ does whatever he or she does. Or is that a fair statement?
If there's a contest, there's no suspension until after. Your Honor, actually, I don't know the answer. If the status of the license may be potentially suspended during the hearing.
I'm trying to see what's the trade-off here? I mean, the one trade-off would be, okay, here are all these problems. We're sending you a notice you got those problems. We're suspending the license until we have this hearing, and then we'll decide, blah, blah, blah. That gets the immediate public safety issue from your benefit. But then the flip side is, okay, here we go. We're not going to do anything until we have a hearing. But by God, tell us if you want a hearing within 2 weeks, because if you don't, then we go down that route. So, I mean, that's the city said, we'll have a hearing, nothing happens for in those 15 days, but by God, tell us if you want a hearing, because then, blah, 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 we're going to move it and blah, blah, blah. Now, I take it, your argument for why, they didn't let anybody speak at the city council meeting is because, there's other stuff going on at the city council meeting, And that's not the place to have a hearing with witnesses and testimony and call the cop and call the person who was served underage. I mean, that's, you know, and then you get seven people, you know, dealing with this rather than just one person who's trained to make sure everybody gets due process. That's why if you blow the deadline, the city council is not going to let you, you know, plead your case. Is that a fair statement, Mr. Michael? How do I pronounce your name?
Michael is correct, Mr. Michael. Your Honor.
Is that sort of why we don't let people just ramble on at your city council meeting?
I think that's partially correct, Your Honor. The procedures under the city code would allow two types of hearings. If you contest the facts, you go to a hearing officer. If you don't contest the facts and all we're arguing about is the legal consequences and what council should be doing, that hearing does take place in front of council. Here,
because then it's the punishment. It's okay, whatever happened. Now the city council decides, are we going to revoke your license? Are we going to spend your license? Are we going to make you do other all sorts of stuff? Okay, or maybe we're going to fine you $5,000 or something, I suppose.
Correct.
I suppose that's an option. We're not going to revoke your license. We're not going to spend you, but to tell you how much we don't like you, $10,000. Okay, all right. Well, that makes sense. And then at that hearing, you can have a lawyer, and he can say, don't revoke, don't suspend, and this is not as egregious as all this other stuff. So it's, you know, $500, and we promise not to do it again.
Right.
Okay. That makes some sense.
Your Honors, the statutory requirement is an opportunity for a hearing. The city code requirement is a reasonable opportunity for a hearing, a reasonable notice. The point that Judge Conley made in questioning my colleague, if the notice said we're going to have a hearing on May 20th, show up, and they don't show up at all, and so nothing happens except everyone spent the time and effort to get there and be ready, and then the day before the matter goes in front of the council on a consent agenda, council says, no, we changed our mind. We want to show up. We want to have a hearing. Now we're in the basket of questions that Judge Slater, I hope I pronounced that right, Your
Slater.
Honor. Slater.
It was close.
One Supreme Court justice and one mispronounced name. I'm off.
Well, you got Connolly right. That's the only thing I care about.
Then we'd be in that same basket of questions that you asked, Your Honor. Well, what's the harm in suspending and doing all this other stuff? We gave them the opportunity to have a hearing. We showed up. They didn't show up. We made a decision, and they don't like the decision, so they get their lawyer to send a last-minute plea. That's exactly the situation we have here, except their burden was much lighter than having to show up at a hearing. All they had to do was say, yes, please. That's all they had to say.
Does the record indicate, okay, let's say, yes, please, I want a hearing, then does the city's lawyer and the relator's lawyer sort of, okay, here are the dates, and then, you know, the ALJ has these dates, and you kind of all negotiate about, you know, okay, well, we can have an expert witness on this date, but this, I mean, does that all generally happen? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, Your Honor, I can't speak to what's outside the record in the city attorney's office on these. I can answer as the person who represents cities. That would happen within a certain pressure on the city attorney's office to make sure we have the hearing as soon as possible.
Keep moving,
but other than that, yes, that would all be possible.
Because I know if I want to fight a parking ticket in Minneapolis, you know, 6 months if you're lucky. Because, you know, everybody's fighting their parking tickets because the parking tickets are really expensive. That's fair.
I guess I would like to quote something from the Aarons decision about liquor licenses. So I wasn't aware that we'd have any kind of legal dispute about whether there's a constitutionally protected property right in a liquor license. There isn't. Unbroken line of authority, 1947 through 2007. There's no such right. In 1947, the Supreme Court in the Aarons case, which is cited in our briefs, specifically in the footnote from the Supreme Court in 1983 in Hymanson, for the proposition that there's no protected property right here, quotes the United States Supreme Court for saying, it's a business attended with danger to the community. It may be entirely prohibited or be permitted under such conditions as will limit to the utmost its evils. Modern experience tells us that quote from the 1940s, 50s era isn't the mores of the day. That's the reality of dealing with liquor in our society. It's wonderful to have on-sale liquor done well. It's not hard to do well. It's an important gathering spot. It's great for the community. It's great for the business owner. When it's not done well, it's significantly dangerous.
Could you give me the legal side to that?
Sure. The Aaron's case is 61 Northwest 2nd, 508. And I was reading from at page 521. The court was citing the case of Crowley v. Christensen. That's the United States Supreme Court, 137 U.S. 86 at page 91.
Thank you.
It's important to the business owner for sure, as my colleague ably conveyed to the court. It's also really important to the community that these be done well or they be shut down. The city has broad discretion in the area, and while reasonable minds could disagree about whether they should have gone for what they could go for immediately or whether they should have extended additional grace before they did, doesn't change the fact that the city had the legal right to do what it did, and so it should be affirmed. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel. Counsel for appellant, you'll now have 5 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. I want to restate one point. The 15 days is not in any rule or ordinance of the city. Okay. The second, I want to address the last point my learned colleague did concerning the property interest in a liquor license. There is no case that holds that my clients hold a property interest in the liquor license, but that's not the issue here. The issue here is whether, if you want to revoke their license, you have to apply due process. And that's the issue that I'd ask you all to focus on. The case that Learned Counsel just talked about is a U.S. Supreme Court case, and obviously we all make note of that, but the Minnesota case controlling is discussed by both of us, the federal distillers case. And the federal distillers case addressed 21st Amendment issues, and in that respect was legislative. What council hasn't addressed, and what I'd ask you all to keep in mind, is the city council, in revoking this license, acted in a quasi-judicial fashion. And when they act in that fashion, they have to provide due process. Doesn't matter whether my clients have a property interest in a liquor license. What matters is that their exercise of authority in that instance is quasi-judicial, and they have to attend to ensuring that due process is followed.
So what you're saying is, they can't put any limitation on requiring your client to give them, there can be no limitation on the request for a hearing. It's just whenever you want it?
No, and I think.
Because I agree with you. Having been here for 15 years, one thing I've learned is that you can never have enough due process because there's always more. But, there seems to me that the procedure that the city has adopted, again, okay, not in ordinance, not in statute, but, I guess the city attorney picked 15 days because, 15 days, I suppose it could have been 30 because that's what the rules of civil procedure provide for due process, for discovery. But, I'm at a loss to understand why the simple request that if you want a hearing, you got it, but you got to tell us, and you got to tell us by, and you could all have a debate, 7 days, 15 days, 30 days, whatever, but you got to tell us, and then, you're going to have as much due process as you want. Why is the requirement that says you got to tell us if you want the hearing? Why does that violate, and if you don't, you don't get one. Why does that violate due process?
I guess I've got a little time left. I tried to answer your question as clearly as I know how. It is, stay with me here, it's not the 15 days. Any due process issue at the core, the three of you are going to look at the particulars of the case, and whether the particulars of the case violated due process. The 15 days are in a letter written by a very competent city attorney, Teresa Scarda. It is the advice of the city attorney at that council hearing that I ask you all to review in the transcript that is such a fundamental denial of due process. Okay? You know all the circumstances, and yet he gets up repeatedly and explains the procedural door is closed. We've met due process. They don't get a hearing, and all we're here to discuss today is whether or not the facts in support of the petition are sufficient for you to.
What would you have liked to have done at that city council hearing?
They take it off the consent agenda, refer it to a ALJ for a hearing, and they could have suspended the liquor license while that was going on. Okay. Thank you all very much for your kind attention.
Thank you to both counsel. We appreciate your answers to our questions, your briefing. We will take the matter under advisement. We'll be issuing an order opinion within 90 days.
Thank you.
You have a good day. Thank you.